be seated. I always think that's the saddest rejoicing song ever made, but it makes sense because it's the rejoicing for something yet coming. So like they're rejoicing, Emmanuel is coming. So it's a good pre-Christmas expectation song, but it does have that open-ended like rejoice because it's fate. You know, it's like, come Lord Jesus. Well, today we're going to be reading. We'll first read from 2 Peter. I know we'd been preaching on Peter, and we're shifting now. It's Advent, so I'll be preaching from the Gospels. But we'll continue reading some of that so you can hear the whole book, and it matches up pretty good. And before I do that, though, I want to say I did this to Matt last week. But as we're learning and growing, we're learning what some of these church things mean. And, of course, they have nothing to do with salvation, like traditions or anything. But I thought it was cool that we inherited this old 1950s, they're called paraments. And I realized a while ago that the pastor would put this on because it represents the yoke of the Word of God. So like I said last week, I'll say it again. When I put this on, it means I'm preaching the Word of God. So this is what I carry again. It's just for fun. It's like more significance. It's not a, you have to do this or not. But I like it because I say a lot of crazy things all the time. But when I have this on, you know I'm speaking for God and I take it seriously. So I'm putting on the yoke of the Word of God. So listen to me now. It's kind of cool. It's just fun. It's fun for me anyway, and I'm going to do what's fun for me. And I hope you do what's fun for you. This is my life. This is my work, so I get to have fun. All right. I don't have the giant hat yet. Or the glass. Anyway, okay. But it's fun. Let's read the word of the Lord in 2 Peter. It's found on page 591. And if you can remember, Peter's talking to people who are feeling the persecution, wondering about the end times. Chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promises, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." That's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. And I'll just let you deal with that between you and the Lord, what he said there. And we'll talk later. So let's go now to Book of Mark, as we are in Advent. It's the beginning of our story. It starts over. So we're ending with the Lord's coming. The year is wrapping up. And now we're beginning with the coming of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1. Verse 1 through 8, page 488. And Mark writes, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God," or the beginning, "as it is written Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey." Cool. "And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. So what we're going to be looking at for the next, we have two more Sundays and then Christmas Eve, is the beginning of each of the Gospels. They all start a little bit different. They have a different approach, but in each of them, it's about the voice of God coming, the word of God coming to us. It's the beginning of that. And so Mark begins with the voice of God, the voice crying out in the wilderness to you through the prophets. So I was thinking about The Voice. I don't watch that show, The Voice, right? But the big idea is that you're just listening purely to the voice, and you're not being bothered by how they look. You're not thinking, they look like rock stars or anything. You're just hearing their voice. Is that how the show goes? And then you choose them and you coach them. And cool. God reveals even a little more than that. He does hide. He does have to hide himself a little bit so that we can hear him through prophets, through his word. And then eventually his son comes, is the voice of God. But I was thinking about that voice. And this is for the kids. I want to hear your answer first. But think about your mom's voice. How many voices does your mom have? Could you maybe think about how she would say your name when she's angry? What's that?
Troy Michael Lotto.
There's like different kinds of angry. Yeah.
Oh, there's different kinds of angry.
Straight angry,
how does she say your name?
Grace T. Barcott.
Grace T. Barcott. So straight anger is full weight of your lineage.
There's like, she says something in like a tone where you think you've done something wrong, but she's kind of calm about it.
So there's the quiet, angry tone, which would be like Grace.
Yeah.
Okay. Sage, can I talk to you for a second? What's scarier, the voice that is like says your full name or the quiet voice where you know? Okay. Right. You don't know what you did, but you know there's a list over here of things that potentially you could have done.
Like it was bad enough where she had to like calm herself.
Yeah. It's bad when she has to calm herself. What about this voice? My kids would know this, and Matt, you might know it. When my wife says this, what does she mean? Oh, wait. Adam?
Oh,
that's a cockroach. Adam? I know. I have to drop everything, and I got to grab something to kill a roach. And it ruins the whole day. All food is spoiled. All life is spoiled. How did I let this thing in? It's like I let Satan into the Garden of Eden. Adam? Right. Which is legitimate, but we all have voices, you know. Is there something that your mom has told you over and over again? What's the one thing that your mom tells you to do all the time? Dishwasher?
Vacuum the stairs?
Clean your room. Why does she have to say them over and over again?
Because I don't do
them. Oh! There we go. So today is about obeying your mom. But that's what's so interesting about voice is that, we'll do some healing work later. But I love it because God speaks to us. It's the voice. And the voice of God is saying the same thing over and over again for years and years. So Mark says there's a voice crying out in the wilderness. And then he quotes Isaiah. At this point in history, Isaiah is 800 years old. So Mark is quoting a guy who's been saying things, who said things 800 years ago. And really, Isaiah is saying things that came even before that. And so you have God who uses his voice. I wonder what his voice sounded like when he created. He looked over the world, it was formless and void, and he goes, "Let there be light." Was that like, "Let there be light"? Let there be light. We don't know. It's so exciting to think about. But whatever he said, it happened. And then when you speak to one another, your mom says, clean the stairs. Do you know what your mom wants right then? She wants there to be light. Let there be light. And it happens. Clean the stairs. And it happens. Empty the dishwasher. And it happens. What happens when it doesn't happen? She will find you and she will say, kick open the door and say, empty the dishwasher, and expects it to happen. What happens if it doesn't happen then? Yeah. So now you all understand what hell is. You're out. Do what I say. Because my words have meaning and they create. And when I say something, they should cause something to happen. This is God creates with his word. But what happens is we're broken. We've lost our ability to hear his voice. We've lost our trust in that voice. We have so many other voices, it's hard to know. I didn't know you meant clean the room now. That's how we start to talk to God. And so God says, okay, all right, I love you guys. I'm going to speak through prophets. It's like if I wanted my daughter to get an idea, she's not going to hear it from me. I'm her dad. I would say, Christina, where's Christina? Christina, or Walker, or Lindsay, anybody, can you talk to my daughter about this thing that I don't think she's going to listen to me? You'd say, I don't want to get involved. But if you weren't that strong, you'd say, sure. And you would go speak to her and say, hey, you know, you should really be like this or that. And I'd say, thank you. This is what the prophets are. That God has prophets, and he says, my kids, they're just so rebellious, and they can't hear it now. And so God calls a prophet. The prophet then carries the voice of God, the word of God. He goes to them, and he does, it's just like what I said. He's saying, hey, God loves you. And what does the prophet always say? You know this, right? What does God's prophet say for 800 years and even before that? What are the prophets always saying? Repent. So, this is interesting. Repent. What does repent mean? I don't know if we always break that down. It's a church word. But let's break it down for a second. Repent simply means, I know we have ideas. I want to break this out. Repent doesn't mean that you have already worked out the appropriate amount of sadness. Repent doesn't mean you've worked out anything. Get that out of your mind. Sometimes I used to think, God, forgive me for doing that, but I don't really mean it. I'm going to do it again tomorrow because I really like this thing that is not right, I guess, but I'm sorry, but I'm making decisions to do it again tomorrow. Forgive me? I don't know if that's forgiveness. That's all real. Your minds do that. But what I'm telling you is repentance has nothing to do with your plans for tomorrow. It has nothing to do with the fact you're going to sin again. Because we're much bigger sinners than we can imagine. You don't even trust. The more holy you get, the more sin you'll see. It's like the more you clean something, the more you see all the imperfections. And you're like, oh, I need a new paint job now. I don't need to just wash it. And so that's why God sets up repentance. And all repentance is turning to him. So have you ever had someone who's upset with you, or you're like a kid is upset, and you're like, come here, come here. And they're like, no. They're too upset. They don't want to come here. The sooner you come here, the sooner then we'll make room for good things. The sooner then we'll get on to life. Come here. And so all repentance is those moments where it's like you're overwhelmed by the reality that you don't have power or control. You're overwhelmed by the reality that I don't know how to fix this. You're overwhelmed by the reality that I deserve bad and I don't want that. Those are the moments where you just go, God, help me. And you turn to him. God, forgive me, I'm not God. And he's like, yeah, I know. So repentance is literally just going, God, help me. He's not waiting for you to get stuff together to prove that you're really sad. It doesn't matter how sad you are. Repentance is about, God, help me. He'll work on you on the appropriate amount of feeling. He'll work with you over time and start to shift you and lead you into life, into doing the things that are good. He's not saying, turn, do good, now come to me, now I love you. It's the opposite. And so over and over again, for 800 years, there have been prophets who speak for God because it was too hard to hear God. And they're saying, turn to me. Stop looking to the nations around you. Stop looking to money. Stop looking to false gods. Stop looking to pleasure. Stop that and just look to me. Repent. That's all repentance means. So when you hear the word repentance, think God just saying, come here. Come here. And you going, I don't know. I'm so dirty. He's like, I know. Come here. That's repentance. And what you find out is some few things about repentance. The first verse we're looking at says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we're looking at the beginning of the good news. And there's three things that we find out. The good news is Jesus Christ. The good news is, I'm going to save you. So whatever we're going through today, like the good news, it's better than the good news we could think of. It's the vaccine is not only here, it's already in you. You know, it's good news. And it's just the beginning of good news because the Son of God is here. But what is that good news? It always begins with repent. But even before that, it always comes out of the wilderness. Repentance always makes room for good in your life. So first, it comes out of the wilderness. John comes out of the wilderness. There's purpose for this because whenever you read the word wilderness in the Bible, it's the place of testing. It's the place of barrenness. It's the place of danger. It's the place where wild animals can get you. Robbers can get you. Famine can get you. The wilderness is not where you want to be. But it's the place where we often find ourselves. So the translation for us today is your wilderness, our wilderness, are those places where you are feeling anxious, you are feeling fearful, you're feeling the power of scarcity, the power of no control, you're thirsty, you're scared. Those are our wilderness. And the word of God, the voice of God, always appears in the wilderness. So that's the good thing about the wilderness, is God shows up and says, hey, I'm going to be with you. That's the good thing. And he does that because it's the wilderness when we recognize I don't have a shot at being a very good God. I have a lot of need. So he shows up in the wilderness and he says, turn to me. And so we turn to him. We repent. But this is not a one time. This is an ongoing event. So that later today, we feel good at church. We're in the presence of God. You get in the car, drive away, and you're overwhelmed with the anxiety. You're overwhelmed because there's a world, a flesh, a devil after you. Doesn't want you to have these things. There's all sorts of things working against it, but it's an ongoing, Lord, this is my wilderness. Is your voice here? And he says, yeah, my voice is in the wilderness. I will lead you through. I want to take your eyes off of all the things to be scared of and mad and sad about and on to Jesus Christ, the good news. So he meets us in the wilderness. This is the benefit we have, is that when you're in those hard places, just keep turning to him. And by turning, I just mean, Jesus, help me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Please help me. Help me not to think this. I'm feeling this. Help me. Like, it's that basic. It's not special stuff. It's kid stuff. You ever see a child totally overreact to something? They hit their hip, and you're like, whoa. I'm talking like 8-year-old, not like 3-year-old. You're like, dude, chill out. But the good thing they're doing, so we sometimes don't want to be like that, but really it's good. They're going, help. That's what we do in the wilderness, because we have a God who meets us in the wilderness and speaks to us in the wilderness, and he speaks life. He says, yeah, this isn't, we're going somewhere. Where are we going? Well, if we take the story, we're going to the promised land. How do you get to the promised land? Where do you go? What do we have to go over or through or under to get to the promised land? Water. Always. The borders of the wilderness are water, the very thing you're lacking. And John shows up at the Jordan, telling people to confess their sins and repent. And he starts baptizing. See, God gives us baptism is where our exit out of the wilderness begins. It's really cool. The borders of the wilderness. You want to get out of the wilderness? Ask God for help. Repent. Turn from trying to control everything. Help me. He says, great, I will. Right this way. And he leads us into repentance, the baptism repentance. See, John is only offering a baptism of repentance. That means he's just saying, hey, Jewish folks, I know you have this history, but you're basically like the Gentiles now. So it's very humiliating. He's baptizing all because he's saying, the king is coming. Cleanse yourself. How do you cleanse yourself? How do you prepare yourself for the king coming? Repent. Repent and then receive forgiveness. Receive your guilt being taken off by water. Let's leave the wilderness and walk through repentance, which is receiving the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, going into the promised land, the promised rest, the existence that is being protected and blessed by God comes through repentance and faith. It's kind of cool, right? It's always through water. It's always through cleansing. And remember, you're coming out of the desert. And the hard parts of our lives right now, where it's really dry and fearful and scared, repentance is saying, God, I remember you baptized me. I need water. I need to be rehydrated. I need to be washed. And it's resting and saying, okay, I trust you. But see, we have a hard time hearing. That's why John says, look, I give the one of guilt. So it's kind of up in here in your head. But Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is kind of amazing because this is the Spirit of God, the Holy of Holies. Who gets to go into the Holy of Holies in the temple? What's that? The high priest. Once a year in the Day of Atonement. So proud of you, kids. Good job. So now the Holy of Holies is going to be in us by the work of Jesus Christ, simply by saying, help me, receiving washing. And now you're baptized, you're immersed into the Holy Spirit of God will come to you. He will come and be with you. And here's what that means. Because there's this verse here that I have to admit, sometimes it doesn't matter how much you read the Bible, your old flesh reinterprets things. So I read, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And my first natural reaction, even though I've spent over 10,000 hours in this Bible, is, oh, I got to prepare like I'm preparing for the king to come. If I knew someone important was coming to my house, I would spend all this time preparing my house, getting the food together. You know, there's millions of decisions when you're preparing. Like just to do one song, it took us 5 years to figure out how to play some easy Christmas songs because you have to make so many decisions. You have to prepare and go, how are we going to do this? Are we going to go up on that, down on this? Are we going to pause here? Are we going to, and all these decisions for basic things. So when it comes to God, we think, oh, I have to prepare for the Lord. I need to clean up. I need to do this. And it's not that at all. It's the opposite. He prepares you. His path is repentance. It just makes room. Repentance for us makes room for him. That's it. Then he makes all the decisions and leads you and will move the things and put the good things in your life. So it's like it was very annoying. We had to get a refrigerator like a year ago. But part of the process of getting a refrigerator is you have to move out the old one. You move out something to put in the new one. If I ever get a new t-shirt, I can't put it in my closet until I take out an old one. This is a rule from my wife. Otherwise, we just get too much and I forget about all the t-shirts because I only wear one or two anyway. So she's like, throw one out to make room for a new one. It's really hard. That's repentance. Repentance is saying, I turn to you, you're making room, and now the work, Christ comes in, the Holy Spirit brings good things in when you repent. And makes all repentance does is make room. Now you're resting and your faith is in Christ, you're going to make something out of nothing. Christ, you're going to make me into the kind of person who can do what I want and what I want to do, what my heart wants to do. You're going to make me the kind of person who can believe and trust you, even though all I see around me is like wilderness. That's the beauty of repentance. It makes room. But then, it doesn't just make room for it. It starts to apply it. So we struggle. We start to think in unchristian ways every day, all of us. There's just times, and that's when the wilderness becomes really overbearing. But the gift that we have is repentance. We have been washed. We've walked through the Jordan. So now it's like remembering that and saying, Lord, forgive me, help me, and then believing he does, right? Resting in it. But here's what he does, the promise. I just want to reiterate the promise that Jesus, I'm announcing, just like John, just like all the prophets, we announce to each other, Jesus has come. He's here. And he's given you his Holy Spirit, which means forgiveness. But really what it means is we have access to peace, real peace, not fake peace like, oh, it's okay peace, but like peace from God, the kind of peace that has to have authority behind it. Have you ever had a friend say, oh, it's okay to be somewhere, but you didn't trust them, and then you ended up getting in trouble for being there? That happened to me early in my life. When I was at school in England, we were all staying at some place, I can't remember now, but then somebody in our group said, oh, it's okay to go through the fire hatch in the ceiling and go on the roof. And it was like 1 a.m, and like 4 19-year-olds are climbing, trying to figure out how to get up there. We got it open, and we're pulling ourselves up, and the person wakes up, this poor lady who runs the place, she's like, what are you doing? And it was like me hanging through. I'm like, well, he said that we could do this because he stayed here a year ago, and that was okay. She was like, no. It was like the British baking show, but angry. No. I was like, oh, and ever since then, I'm like, wait, by what authority do you say we can climb through this? Who are you? Oh, because once, was this even the same place? I don't know. And so it's hard when people are like, it's okay, and you're going to be fine. Your reaction is, and ought to be, how do you know? You don't know anything. You can't say it's going to be fine. Are you going to pay my bills when it's not? Well, no, I'm just saying, I'm trying to be positive. Shut up. But Jesus says, peace. Jesus can say it's going to be all right. And we can look to Jesus and say, God, is it going to be all right? And he says, you're my kids. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you energy when you're exhausted. I'm going to give you comfort when you're overwhelmed by mourning. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to heal. I'm going to direct your attention. And this is a big one. This is one I need to ask for often. I will direct your attention away from being obsessed with the wilderness to Christ, to his promises, and to his coming the first time and his coming again. I will direct your attention. I will work these things in you. You don't need to stir them up on your own. You just keep coming to me and saying, Dad, Dad, help me. Sweet Mabel, feed me. That's it. Repentance and faith is the gift. And this is the beginning of the good news. So the beginning is repentance. And that's why we'll go back to our first verse. Mark says, the beginning of the good news, gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repent, make room, just keep turning to him over and over again. He is good, and it's always good news to those of us in the wilderness. Let me pray. Father, you know us, and we are thankful for that. And we have been learning and been growing and knowing you, and you are faithful. You're steadfast in love. Your mercy never ends. You do not hold our sins against us. You are loving and kind and gracious, and you are tenacious in your forgiveness and in your wanting to talk to us. Give us ears to hear your voice in the wilderness today. We are together. We already have, actually. We've already said, Lord, forgive us. We know we haven't done everything we possibly can to love you and love our neighbor, yet we receive your forgiveness. Whatever idea, whatever overwhelming fear, Lord, we name it right now and we say, would you help us? Would you heal? Would you restore? Would you take care of us? We repent. We just can't do it on our own. And we hear you say, I've given you my son to die for you. I love you. I will fight for you. I hear you. I see you. I'm with you. Holy Spirit, continue to write that on our hearts and minds. Cleanse our minds. Silence all the other voices so that we might hear the voice of the one who comes after John, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we love you. Amen. All right. So, let's confess together. The idea with the confession is that we've heard, we believe in our hearts, and then the Holy Spirit verifies it, validates it in us as we speak it out loud, as we speak to one another. God loves you. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. See, like there's three. It's like, I don't know how God can love me, but okay. Yeah, God really loves me. Two, God loves me. That's all I have right now. But we're going to do the Nicene Creed. It's longer. And it came some years later because it's dealing with who Jesus actually is, that he is God, so that there'd be no confusion. So on page C, we'll read the Nicene Creed. Again, it's broken up in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What is it you believe, Christian? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So our time now of praying for one another, and I just want to remind, I often forget, it's our time to respond to God and offer our prayers as we worship him, we confess him, we also say, Lord, help us. So this is a time where we just pray for one another and pray for the church and the world. So there'll be time too during the Lord's Supper to write your requests that we can pray during the week. It's also a time to say thank you, Lord, with our tithes and offerings. It's, again, the relationship with giving is always about putting things in the right place, because it's so easy for money to become over, it becomes the thing. And God's always saying, let me be the thing so that you can grow into becoming a generous person, being about the work of God on earth as it is in heaven, you know? And so, again, we give out of a generous and cheerful heart that, you don't want to force anybody to do something they don't want. I just know it's a great blessing to be able to support the work of God on earth. You won't be ashamed of that. And then our prayer requests, we just continue to pray. Continue to pray for health for everybody, for babies, new babies, babies that are still cooking, for health and jobs. You know, just pray. I'm praying with you that I know jobs are a big source of, it's hard. And so in that wilderness, I'm asking the Lord to show up for you and lead you and give you the energy for whatever steps need to be taken, but we're praying. But just know you can keep asking him for joy and for resources. It's you can keep asking him for that and keep praying, and we'll pray with you. And for healing, don't ever be shy to pray for healing. We have the God who heals. So, and I don't want to be shy to thank him, too, for all the good things he's given us, for the food and the shelter. Every good thing is a gift from God. Is there any prayer requests? Anybody feel like they want to share one now for everybody? Troy. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God who hears our prayers. You say it over and over again, and you mean it. That you have come to us. You are God with us. So, Lord, we lift up Troy and Tiffany and Hattie and Millie. We thank you for them and their generosity and the way you provide for them. I pray your favor would be on them and their business. As we pray together for Rob and Kathy and their business, Lord, whoever this one person is that could make it or break it, we pray that you would move in their hearts and minds to see the value of this business, and you would put their favor on the business. And then, Lord, give Rob and Kathy the ability to enjoy these steps that you're laying out before them and not just quickly move to the next thing, but bless them. We thank you that you've promised to provide for us and that you include us in all that. It's nerve-wracking, Lord, at times. This is one of those times, so please help. Please bless. And then, Lord, I pray for Matt's friends. I know a lot about that particular request, Lord. So we lift up this child, this newborn, Oliver, to you. You are the God who has heard our prayers and we've seen you heal hearts. In this room, you have healed hearts. And you've used doctors to do it, and you've also used just miracles to do it. You use it all. You're good and you have access. So would you use your goodness and your access for Oliver and save his precious life? And be with his parents as they walk through this. Lord, in your mercy. And then, Lord, we pray with Sage for her friend Will. We pray it'd be a negative. We pray that it would turn out that he doesn't have COVID. And then, Lord, we pray that you'd continue in your mercy to protect all of us from any sickness, especially that one. We pray that you would move through our cities and through our country and our world health and restore confidence in living together. Restore our hearts that have been divided and beat up. Restore us again, God of our salvation. We love you and we thank you. Bless our community. You know all about what's going on, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he's with his friends, and he says, "We're going to change the Passover. Instead of a lamb that takes away the sin of the world, I am the lamb who takes away the sin of the world." And Peter remembers, and John, as he's saying these things, they remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when God says, "This is my son. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus." So here's a moment where we listen to him. And Jesus says, "I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my blood for forgiveness of sins. I'm giving you something to touch and feel because you're humans. You need it. It's faith and it's touch. It's spirit and it's resurrected body together. And though I am going to be in heaven, I'm with you and I'm going to create this church, which is my body on earth. And you're going to be connected to me by faith and by my word over things. My voice over things like wine on the outside, grape juice in the middle. My voice over little wafers. I can speak something over those and they have power. but they're still wafers and they're still just grape juice and wine on the outside. I can speak into a burning bush. It can be on fire and speak and accomplish something, and it can still just be a bush. And then when God's done with his word working through it, it just is a bush again. So these things have great power because God's word is on them, yet they're still just things, and you're still just a sinner, but his word makes you a saint. Praise God. So this is where we come together with him. You know you're welcome at his table. He loves you, and he announces you're forgiven. And forgive one another as I've forgiven you. Love. He summarizes all the commandments. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. But then he gives a new commandment around the Lord's Supper, which he says, love one another as I have loved you. It used to be, love your neighbor as yourself. It's still about me. Like, I'll love you the way I love myself. The problem is we don't love ourselves very well. So Jesus says, you know what? Forget the love like you love yourself, because you kind of hate yourself a lot. So don't treat others like you treat yourself. Why don't you treat others the way I treat you? That's even harder, but thank you. So he gives us his body and his blood. The night that he was to die for us, he breaks the bread. He says, this is my body. This is my body. Broken and given for you. The same way he takes the cup, gives thanks to God, he pours it out. He says, this is a New Testament. The whole New Testament summed up in a meal. This is the whole New Testament. The New Testament I give to you, my blood, for the forgiveness of sins. Then he says, like any good cook, try it, take it. And you're like, I'm not really, take it, take it. He says, take this, eat it, you'll like it, it's for you. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. You gave your son because you love. And Jesus, you suffered because you love. And Jesus, you rose again because you are God, and you've given us all these things, and you've tied us to yourself by your word, by your life, by your resurrection and your death. You have called us into your body, and somehow you use us, and we're just your little children, pitter-patter of our feet running around your house. This is our identity as children of faith, and we thank you and are so happy to be a part of this meal. Prepare our hearts to just receive it by faith without adding any weird strings attached. We are your children. We are part of you. We carry your DNA, and you love us. And so bless this meal. Bless it to our bodies. Bless it to our church. Bless us then to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So we will have you come forward again when you're ready. And during this time, continue to pray or write prayer requests. Pray for one another. So as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's coming and coming again, his death and his resurrection. Father, thank you for calling us your kids. Now we just want to sing and say thank you and enjoy this season of beginnings, the season of you coming to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, be blessed. Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. May he turn towards you and smile and give you his grace and mercy now and forever as his beloved children. Amen. Have a great week.